You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 022 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show, and I really hope I'm getting that one right because it's just been a whirlwind of a weekend, a whirlwind starting about 9, 8, 7 o'clock Saturday. I don't even remember. I am all out of sorts. I know that a lot of people out there are going nuts, but we just want to thank you for tuning in to this podcast, the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com. I'm Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson. My co-host, Brad the White Shadow Jones, is on the road yet again. And he is in. Brad, why don't you tell the fine people where you're at?
I am in Brainerd, Minnesota tonight on my way out to Duluth.
Brainerd, Minnesota, doing the good work for North Dakota State University. You can find us on KFGO.com. We always appreciate your comments, concerns, questions. We have a comments section at the bottom of the podcast at every podcast page. You can find us on iTunes, the Pinto and White Shadow Show in the podcast section. You can find me on Twitter at PintoKFGO. You can find Brad Jones on Twitter at
The Bison Guy.
And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook as well. So we're not going to do any special openings because, as I said, it has been a whirlwind of a weekend. Saturday afternoon, NDSU moved on to the quarterfinals of the FCS playoffs with a dominating 38-7 win over Furman University. And that would have been the story that we would have opened up with, and it all would have been just fine and jovial. But later that evening, Bruce Feldman of CBSSports.com broke the news that North Dakota State University head coach Craig Bohl had accepted the head coaching position at Wyoming University, and the wheels were sent in motion. So a lot of questions, Brad, that you and I will be discussing about this topic because, frankly, there are a lot of things to talk about and speculate on. But the first one to ask you your thoughts on the move that was confirmed today by head coach Craig Bohl himself.
Wow. Gosh, that's a big question, just as far as general thoughts on the move.
Let's get crazy. I mean, come on now.
Well, I mean, the everyone's first thought was Wyoming, really? I think was kind of everyone's reaction. And you know, when I first heard that it was Wyoming, it brought me back to the conversation that we had early on in the beginnings of this podcast of what kind of job would it take to take Craig Bohl away from NDSU. And you and I were way off.
Way off.
Way off. You know, we thought even some of a lower-tier power conference school might not be enough.
Right.
And it's not even going to be a power conference school that he's going to.
You're talking lower-tier Mountain West conference school.
Yeah.
So that in itself is very surprising to both of us. But again, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean that was the initial thought, and I think that was the thought of a lot of people that I saw on social media, was that, my gosh, you know, your way to leave something awesome for something terrible. It was most of the comments, the G-rated version of most of the comments that I saw. And you know, and it, every coach has a different personality and different things that they want to do. There are some coaches who we've seen over the years who enjoy the challenge of maintaining greatness in the same place year after year. You see a lot of that in college basketball with your Coach K's, your Jim Boeheim's, Jim Calhoun before he retired. You see a lot of that with guys who stay at the same school and try to win over and over and over again. You see it occasionally, a little bit less often these days in college football, where it seems like there's more job hopping. But part of it is, you know, part of the challenge is, what's next? What is my next challenge? And at some point, and I think Coach Bohl has reached that point, what's really left for him to do?
Yeah, those are really fair, good points, and I understand them all. I wrote on KFGO.com when this happened that there was some speculation out there that Wyoming was going to go to the Big 12. I had heard it from a couple sources of mine that there was grumblings behind the scenes. And I said that that, to me, is the only reason he makes this move, is because somewhere along the line, Wyoming has said, we have plans to move to a bigger conference. And in my mind, I think, okay, that makes sense. If you're going to leave Wyoming and say they stay in the Mountain West even for a couple more years, and then eventually they go into the Big 12 or whatever it may be, and the Big 12 is the name that was out there, then okay, yeah, all right, that makes sense to me. But it sounds like that rumor is not true. I got ripped vehemently by several Wyoming people,
yep.
which is fair. It was all speculation to my point. It wasn't that I was basing it off of hardcore fact and I thought it was true. But I said, I like the move, or it makes sense, I should say, if these things are true. I think I had 4 points. 3 of the 4 became null. So I don't like the move, honestly. I think it is a lateral and backwards move. If those, I mean, that's kind of one or the other.
I mean,
I say it's a backwards move in my opinion.
And backwards moves don't come with double the salary, typically, I'll say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still going FCS to FBS. Now, what are the stakes? I mean, the stakes are obviously very different, but you know, a Mountain West team can go to a BCS bowl game. That's not impossible.
No, it's not. But
and especially with the new, you know, with the new system coming down, I mean, there might be even more chances to be able to do something. But I think part of it, and this is again a little bit of speculation, but Bull kind of hinted at this during his during the Craig Bull football show today, that you know it's a challenge, and he wants a challenge, and he wants to be able to build towards something. His goal when he was hired here and when we made the move to Division I was to build a national powerhouse FCS school, and he did that. He accomplished his goal. If you went down every single goal on his checklist that he had when he started at North Dakota State University, what's left on that checklist?
Exactly. He's accomplished
nothing.
Everything. And so it is time to move on.
Yeah. And yeah. So there's a time to move on. Now, I can see your point. Your point is not that
it's
he's
not
moving
that he,
on, but where he's moving on.
Exactly.
To.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about it. It's why Wyoming? What there? To me, it just seems that there's other things he's looking at because he's not dumb. I know that's really generic for me to say, kind of to the point, but
part of it was, you know, he said, hey, I love this area. We vacationed here as a kid. I spent a lot of time there, and maybe that's just part of it. Maybe, you know what? He just really enjoys the area.
I don't. It's the same thing, too. I wouldn't believe somebody if they said they enjoyed Fargo. I mean, it's kind of a meh. If you're from here, yeah, okay, you love it. If you're from Laramie, if you're from Wyoming, you love home. But, you don't really, to me, it doesn't seem like one of those places that you go to, unless in your mind, and this is what I thought of, and some people pointed this out, is that you go here and then you wait for things to disintegrate somewhere else. And maybe that's true. The way I would counter that with is, well, he's 55 years old. And where is it going to disintegrate so greatly in the next few years that there some major FBS program is going to take a flyer on a nearly 60-year-old head coach? You know?
Yeah, I mean, my counter argument to that would be, what's the shelf life of a coach at a major BCS program these days?
5 to 7 years, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean,
maybe.
If you think you've got a guy who's going to be successful coming in for that period of time, I mean, don't you take that shot?
Yes, but does it make sense? Let's play hypotheticals here, Brad.
Okay.
If I'm going to move from Wyoming to, say, Nebraska, how long do I have to be at Wyoming and be successful at Wyoming for it to make sense at Nebraska? Because
and here's the deal, though, at that level, once you've been proven you can be successful at the FBS level, it doesn't take very long before your name starts to appear at every job. How long did it take Chris Peterson at Boise before his name started getting mentioned with every single job?
Right.
It didn't take very long, and maybe that's part of it. Is, you know what? I have to continue to perform at an absolute elite level at NDSU with barely any drop off. And I have to do that for several more years before I'd even get a whiff of probably a lower-level BCS job. So with this job, I can potentially, if I turn things around and I do well here, I can potentially get a high-level job.
Here's what I'm thinking, that in 5 years, which is, I think that's the amount of time he gets, because that seems to be about the amount of time everybody kind of gets. In 5 years, if nothing has improved, this is how his career ends.
But here's the thing. He doesn't think, you don't think like that.
No, you don't.
Because,
you don't.
Especially
I
with
do.
Him, I mean, especially with him, my gosh, especially if it sounds like if the reports and Jeff Kolpak tweeted out earlier from that he said from a reliable source, both Vegan and Kleiman are going with him as two coordinators. I mean, you got to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, you're right. I feel pretty good if you're Coach Bull with the familiarity of your coaching staff, if it all works out in his favor. Now,
not just the familiarity, but I think those guys have proven that they can win at a high level,
at an FCS level.
And I don't think he's thinking, "Gosh, what if I go in there and fail?"
Well, no, of course not. He's not thinking that. I'm saying it. I don't think he's feeling that way. I'm just saying that legacy wise, it looks a little bit like you're putting all your eggs. In my mind, this is your job for Coach Bull as, do I go from here and then where do I go after this? I get back to Nebraska?
Worst case scenario, let's say things don't go well in Wyoming and he's let go after 4 or 5 years. You think every FCS program won't be knocking on his door?
That's a possibility, but again, where would he go back to? Would he go back to the Missouri? I get where you're coming from. I don't want to get into that because that's a long tangent that is going to be really a head scratcher. What I'm saying is that you're putting all your eggs in a basket into a team that is really bad, a program that's really bad. I mean, you're starting from ground level. My thought process, and maybe I'm just acting a little bit like this is kind of weird, because I figured he would go, if he's going Mountain West, which again is a little odd, why didn't he go somewhere where you open up the cupboards and go, okay, I could use this and I can use this, and in 5 years, I can turn it around. Where in 5 years, right. I don't know if they can turn around. You have the staff, he has the money, he has all this and whatever, but even so.
I mean, call it the Tim Miles. Call it what almost every coach does. You take that next step up.
Yeah.
And if you do well, you'll take the next step up. But otherwise, you know, it's not often, you know, everyone's going to point to and say, well, Jim Tressel made the jump, and I've even mentioned that a couple of times.
Right.
And, you know, looking back at it, yeah, he did, but if all you have is to point to one example, that means that's the exception and not the rule.
Yes.
And so this is the path that coaches take. You take one of those lower level FBS jobs, and if you do well there, then the next step is going to open up. So if he was going to take that next step, he couldn't wait much longer. It had to be now.
To me, Wyoming just doesn't make sense. Here's what does make sense to me in this move, and we'll get into some other points about head coach Craig Bull of NDSU moving on to Wyoming, because there are several more we need to discuss.
Yes.
He can, with the way he recruits, he can be successful at Wyoming.
Yeah.
His blueprint for recruiting is, I'm going to take those who may go to, let's relate it to North Dakota, may go to, I won't say Minot State, but they may go D2 somewhere, or they may go on the fringe as an FCS player, and they're North Dakota kids, and nobody else is really giving them a shot. I'm going to say, we're going to make you a preferred walk-on. You can become a Bison. Or, hey, we're going to give you a shot with a scholarship because we believe that you have it in you to be a Bison. We knew you're a fan. We knew you grew up as a Bison fan. That relates to Wyoming because there is one college in Wyoming. There is one football school in the state of Wyoming. It's the Wyoming Cowboys. So that blueprint for recruiting, same blueprint they use in Nebraska,
can be successful. I'd go a little easy on that blueprint because, really, how many, you know, you look at the big-time players on this NDSU team, how many of them are North Dakota kids?
22. On this roster right now for NDSU?
Okay, of your top stars, how many? Brock Jensen? Nope.
No, just
Sam Ojeri? Nope.
The offensive line, I believe, has a couple. You've got a couple on the defensive line. I would say it's kind of a mixed bag because you have Minnesota, Wisconsin, and North Dakota. But you still have the same representation starting-wise as stars from each of those states.
Okay.
So Wyoming kids aren't going to feel that he's just going to recruit the best out of everywhere else. They're still going to feel like they have a shot to make it.
Sure.
That held true at NDSU. Travis Beck, guy from Langdon, North Dakota. Big star, or big player. I won't say, he's a star, I suppose, but, I mean, he was the MVP of the FCS national title game as a freshman.
Yep.
Kyle Steffes, North Dakota guy, if we want to go back that far. He became a pretty big stud. I can even relate it to local area Minnesota guys like Chase Morlock.
Sure. Okay, we're getting tangent. We got to get back.
Again, that's my point is that... It'll work the blueprint in Wyoming because there isn't any competition when it comes to recruiting. And if I'm a Montana kid, I thought about this. If I'm a kid from Montana, do I want to go play for Montana State or Montana, or do I want to go play at an FBS level in the Mountain West where I'm going to get on TV a lot, you know, or I'm going to have a chance to play and start for an FBS school where here, you know, maybe in a mixed bag of other kids from Montana. I think he's going to be able to infiltrate that a little bit. And maybe I'm giving him more credit than he deserves, but I feel that that's going to be the blueprint he takes in. Otherwise, I don't understand the move because I just don't think the school of Wyoming is one where he can get good enough, quick enough to get noticed. That's how I feel about it. Now, the announcement itself that came out on Saturday, it's weird enough that it came out on Saturday in the middle of the playoff run. I'm going to double down on that and say it's even weirder Wyoming's letting him stay at NDSU and coach.
I tell you what, this is very classy from all angles. It really, really is. It's strange. It's unusual. But it's really classy because I wish we knew how exactly those conversations went. You would almost have to assume that it was Bowl saying that I want to stay and coach this team, that I'm going to finish out. Our job isn't done. My job at North Dakota State is not done. I want to stay and finish coaching this team.
Gene Taylor had a press conference today.
Yep.
He even said Wyoming told Bowl that they would rather have him finish out the season with this team.
Okay.
And so that is an odd thing to me. I mean, I believe it's happened before. I know it's rare. But
it's, like I said, I think it's classy from all sides.
It is classy. It is very classy.
That coach didn't just say, see ya, how many tons and tons of coaches have done before, and, you know, they'll do it before bowl games, and it happens, and that's just the way it is.
Right.
But, very classy, I think, from all sides.
Yes, I think so, too. And somewhat of a relief, I believe, for Bison fans, because that was a major concern, was that, oh boy, he's not going to coach him the rest of the way. Who's going to be the interim coach?
Yep.
What's going on? And then when Gene Taylor today at 2 p.m. press conference came out and said, Coach Bowl will be the coach for the Bison throughout the entirety of the playoffs, however long they last.
Yep.
The other weird thing that comes out in all this, and again, classy by all sides, but the other weird thing that could happen from this is that Taylor was asked, is there a possibility that you could have your head coach, the next head coach for NDSU, hired and ready to go before the end of the playoffs? And Taylor said, yeah, that's a possibility.
I see. Now, if the Bison make the national championship game, I would almost expect that.
That they will have somebody already figured out.
Yes.
Okay.
Because Gene's always said, and he's when Coach Miles left, I remember him talking about that when you're at a school, when you're the athletic director of any school, you always have a list.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that he's got a list of guys that he's going to want to get in touch with, and this is going to be likely a national search. If the reports from Colpack that Kleiman and Vegan are both going with him, then it's going to be a national search, but I bet it's going to be a quick one because you're getting into the thick of recruiting season and you want to get that guy in place. So my guess is they're going to be bringing candidates in here quick.
Now, the question I have is, where was Vegan and Chris Kleiman on that list? Maybe a Scotty Hazleton as well?
Yeah.
He's out in Nevada, I know that much. Where are these guys on that list, and how many has he already at this point in the night crossed off? Because the reports are that Vegan and Kleiman are gone. They're going to Wyoming with Bull. If that's the truth, there'd be a nice question to ask him as this goes on. And I don't want to speculate yet as to who the next head coach will be. I want to wait a week and see how it plays out. I want to wrap my head around it and figure out who is out there that has ties to NDSU and who is out there that may make some sense. Because
let me pose this question.
Go ahead.
What would you rather have? Would you rather have Gene name within the next couple days say the way the program is rolling, we don't feel the need to go outside. I'm naming either Brent Vegan or Chris Kleiman the head coach, or would you rather see him do a national search?
Good question.
Thank you.
I would rather have him name Vegan the head coach. That to me would be the guy to be the successor. Here's the problem. All right, we're going to say we want Vegan as head coach. Vegan goes, I don't want it because I'm going to go with Bull.
Okay, and that very well may be what happens. But if you were given the choice, again, if you had both options, if you could name one of those guys or do a national search.
Yeah, I would go Vegan. I would think that NDSU wants to stay within the program. And that was asked of Taylor today. Do you want to stay with the blueprint of what has gotten NDSU to be successful? And he said it would like to stay that way, but you have to remember college football is always evolving.
Yep.
And when NDSU left the Veer offense, NDSU fans were largely upset because that was the identity of NDSU was the Veer. And then all of a sudden you're going to take that away? Well, you're constantly evolving. I think fans are going to be a little upset if the next guy they bring in here wants to run spread.
Yep.
You know, what it comes down to...
Do you win with it?
Exactly. And how NDSU has won is hard-nosed football. Mm-hmm. And can they do that with a spread offense? If people who look at a spread go, oh boy, that's going to mean we're soft. You have to remember, NDSU could run a spread now and still be just as dominant because it's the defense that makes them so good.
Yeah.
So that has to be taken into account. You also have to take into account how well can the guy recruit down in the cities. Can he go up against Minnesota? And
yes,
so there's a lot of things that have to be taken into account. That's why I think even if they get to the national championship, I think it would be the week of the national championship that they might name a successor or wait till the day after, at least to get it out there, leak it out there.
Yes.
Because there's just so many things that delicate process, as there is with any head coaching search, you want to be able to take that. There was a question I did ask Gene Taylor about. When he came out and said, yes, Bull will still be the coach throughout the entirety of the playoffs, however long they last, I asked him, did the players ask for him to be the head coach? And he didn't say directly if that it was a unanimous vote or there was some that said, we didn't hear about this firsthand, we're upset, we don't want him in the locker room anymore. If there was more of a side that said, yes, we'd like him to be on the sidelines. My guess would be that it took on such a roller coaster of emotions for these players that initially they were upset, but after a night of sleeping and talking probably with other teammates, it became a let's take a breath and let's see what happens after here. Can he still be our head coach? Does he want to still be our head coach? And I think maybe the players wanting him to be on the sidelines to see out what he started.
I agree.
You have to remember, this is kind of... Let's pull the reins back a little bit, because you're going to agree with me on this point I'm about to make. Let's kind of sit back and say, okay, so he's going to another school, which we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
As fans, as media, as everybody, we knew this was going to happen.
Yes.
Some of us don't agree with the school. Some of us don't agree with the way it comes out.
Removing all that, yeah, we knew it was going to happen.
We knew it was going to happen. He still has an opportunity to coach this team to the end.
Yeah.
How perfect is this?
Mm-hmm.
Think of that. The guy, after 11 seasons, making this the best FCS school in the nation for 3 straight years, essentially, has an opportunity to take a class, the greatest class in Bison football history, probably when it's all said and done, and see it to its finish. Classy, like you said, on parts by Wyoming, and almost storybook ending, if I may kind of pontificate for a little bit, but it is getting a little.
David got the chance to write that ending.
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Rather than leaving half of the last chapter blank, there at least he's at least going to get the chance to finish writing that final chapter.
Yeah, so that's a nice ending. It's going to be a bittersweet ending for fans. My one fear, and I will write about this as probably Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure when I'll get at it, because we have to move away from the bowl talk and get into the fact that NDSU does have a playoff game next week.
Yeah, and I got one more point to make on with Coach Bowl.
And go ahead, please, because I just want to make sure we cover all this.
Yeah, you know, when you're looking big picture of it, and I think it seems that largely the initial kind of what are you thinking, what's going on, this is terrible, horrible, kind of blew over after people kind of thought about it and you're not just going off of raw emotions. But if when Craig Bowl started in 2003, if somebody said, here's what you can have. You can have 2 wins over the University of Minnesota, wins over Kansas State and Kansas. You're going to be the number one team during your FCS transition. You're going to have 2 10-1 seasons during that. You're going to win 2 national titles, but the downside is he's going to announce that he's leaving you in the middle of the playoffs for your third one.
But he's going to coach your team throughout the entirety of it. But yeah, you don't know that.
But
I get it.
He's made the announcement that he's going to leave during that third one. Do you sign up for that?
Oh yeah, I mean in a heartbeat.
All day, and you say, "Yep, absolutely." Big picture, you take it all day, every day. And, you know, Craig Bowl, and maybe this is a discussion for next week, but is there any question even that he's the greatest head coach in NDSU history?
I think at this point that, for me, because of what NDSU did in the 80s, that he needs to see this out to the end. You have that undefeated season, which he never had at NDSU. If he's unable to complete the run this year, if he's able to complete the undefeated season, I'll give him greatest head coach. If he's not, I mean,
it's him and Ronicky.
He'll definitely be in the running, and it would be up for debate still.
Okay.
But if he's able to see this out to the end, get an undefeated season in there, yeah, I think then no question.
Okay.
No question, greatest coach in NDSU history. Here's my fear. Saturday, when Coastal Carolina comes to the Fargo Dome, he's going to lead the team out onto the field, presumably. I don't think anything changes in that regard.
Yep.
My fear is that people are going to boo.
I had thought about that, too. I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
And I'm going to write an article and essentially pleading, because you can't be angry at the guy. Mike McFeely wrote an article saying just as much. How do you get angry at the guy?
Yeah.
Coupled with the fact that I believe a lot of the anger that NDSU fans are feeling is that he was going to leave.
He's
not, so...
You know, you knew he was going to leave for a prettier girl. You're more upset that he didn't leave for as pretty a girl as you wanted him to.
Everybody, and I'll be self-included in that, I thought it was going to be Nebraska. And maybe that was just because it's a little personal hope of mine that he would have gone to Nebraska.
Yep.
Because it would have just been almost all too perfect.
But that's why, again, that's why people, I think, were really upset. Not the fact that he left, but that people felt like he wasn't leaving for somebody that much better, and they wanted him to leave for something that, perception-wise, we felt was a bigger deal.
Yes, which, again, I think can come back to the fact that this is where the FCS is at, still in the minds of FBS programs.
Yep.
This is the best FCS program you're going to find anywhere. North Dakota State has reached its pinnacle when it comes to national attention.
And maybe that's a wake-up call that Bison fans don't really want.
And don't want to understand is that this is as good as it gets, friends.
Yeah.
He can have as much success as anybody else, and probably the best thing he's going to get is the University of Wyoming, which, by the way, the state itself has a lesser population than North Dakota. So there you go. It'll be interesting to see how his career progresses in that regard. I'm a little bit apprehensive that these fans are going to come out and boo him. And if that's the case, then I'll lose a lot of respect.
I think that's going to be a very small minority.
And I hope so, too.
I think if this announcement was made on Friday and we played on Saturday, I think it would have been a little bit louder. But I think people will have – they've gotten to hear him talk about it. They've gotten to hear Gene talk about it. There's going to be I assume he'll have his typical press conference tomorrow.
Yeah, and he is flying back. I know he said that this morning that he's flying back, and I would assume it's a regular work week, and that's what everybody talked about is getting back to a regular work week.
And people are always upset when we have to try to fill in the blanks.
Yes.
But when he actually gets out there and explains, here's the deal. And then all of a sudden the reasons that they give, maybe that's a little more reasonable and I didn't quite think about it that way.
Here's going to be interesting on the press conference on Monday, because he's been to Wyoming. He's answered questions about the Wyoming job to the Wyoming media. He's going to come back to Fargo on Monday, and somebody's going to ask, and I might be the person that asks about the job.
Somebody, who do you mean?
That asks about the job, because he's going to be wanting to talk about Coastal Carolina.
Yes.
You've got this hanging over. He has yet to talk to the Fargo media himself one-on-one, or far as in that group setting. You have to ask, don't you? You got to be like, so your take on it, so we can get something besides what everybody else has. And does he defer and go, look, this week it's about Coastal Carolina and not my future job?
Yeah.
Is that fair? I mean, obviously he fields whatever questions he wants.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a little like, really? I mean,
I think those questions have to be asked.
They have
honestly,
to. Yeah.
I think that in general, and it's an interesting, and maybe this is more, you know, inside media than people care to know about.
Right.
But in general, when you're a local beat writer, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. You don't ask, you know, you maybe don't ask quite as tough of questions, because if you start to lose access, you know, if he doesn't like, they don't like your questions and they stop talking to you, then you can't do your job.
Well, here's
but now, now he doesn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know what, whatever, you're going to be gone in two, three, four, five weeks anyway.
Right.
So, I'd say it's open season.
And it has to be, because he already, for the first time ever, denied access to daily media during practices anyways. So biting the hand that feeds you, that kind of goes out the window essentially. So
at this point, absolutely. Yeah. And I would bet one of those, and I know one of those people who's not afraid to ask those questions is going to be your boss.
Yep, he'll be there. Mike McFeely, I know that. And I know I'm almost positive Jeff Kolpak of the Forum, who's the beat writer, who's been openly critical of that fact that practice had been closed off. Because, yeah. I mean, that's his job essentially. Yep. He is the beat writer. He's got to cover NDSU. I fully expect him to maybe ask a little bit more questions and try
and
to get towards Wyoming.
Persistent. Yeah.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens.
And hopefully coach realizes that he's got to answer those questions.
Right.
I would hope he realizes that as much as he wants to talk about Coastal Carolina, he's got to answer those questions, I think.
And I think it'll be a mixed bag. I think it'll be one of the longer Monday press conferences out there, but I think it'll be a mixed bag. And like us, they'll eventually get down to talking about Coastal Carolina. So, I think we covered everything bowl related.
I'm sure we missed something, but we covered a lot.
Yes, we did. So, let's get into
local
and Coastal Carolina coming to the Fargo Dome.
Let's get into local and Coastal Carolina?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Makes no sense, I understand. But the Chanticleers, I believe, is how you pronounce that name. Ryan Perrault, the media relations guy, sent out a pronunciation guide. Probably going to be 12 different variations of that name as this week goes along.
I'm really excited for that.
South Carolina, that's the state they're from. They play in the Big South Conference. Are you surprised that they've made it this far? They won last week 42-35 against a Montana team that, frankly, I thought they were going to get worked by. Went to the cold of Montana, was like -4 at kickoff. Beat them 42-35. You surprised that they're this far in?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, I had in our email conversations, the FCS pick'em that we've had, that was one of my games, and I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I had Montana picking up the victory. I think Bison fans are a little bit disappointed that Montana's not coming in, but I mean, you put up 42 points. Granted, it's against a Big Sky opponent and a Big Sky conference that has one victory. I think Eastern Washington is, the Big Sky's gone 1 of 3 so far.
Yep.
So I mean, I'm a little surprised, but they won 10 games in the regular season. I mean, it's not, I don't know that I necessarily consider it a fluke.
High scoring offense.
Yeah, and if you can put up 42 in that cold of Montana, then you know what? I don't know that I consider that fluky.
Here's the other part about it, too. Coastal Carolina, for a long time, was an undefeated team. They lost at Charleston Southern towards the end of the year, and then they were able to kind of back that up with a big win against Presbyterian. The reason they don't get a lot of love is the conference they play in is pretty bad. There really isn't a lot of good teams in their conference. But here's some of the wins. I mean, South Carolina State is a very good win. They beat Furman at home as well. They beat South Carolina State on the road. That's back-to-back playoff teams for them. And then you get a chance to be at home, play Bethune-Cookman, beat them. Going to Montana, that's the farthest east they or farthest west they went this entire year. They hadn't even left the state of South Carolina until late September. Entire season, Brad, they left the state of South Carolina twice. Once to go to North Carolina, three times. Once to go to North Carolina, once to go to Kentucky, and once to go to Virginia.
Yeah.
And then they go to Montana and do what they did. I was very surprised because I thought it was cold. I thought they were going to be out of their element. Remember this, though. NDSU's a second-half team. Coastal Carolina against Montana was up 35-14 at the half. Had to hold on to win that one.
They're not going to be up 35-14 on the Bison, I don't
think. No. No. And judging by what happened last week, NDSU a 38-7 win over Furman. That game was close at the half, and a lot of people, including my boss, were saying, oh, boy, Furman looks good. And I said, hey, look, they look good now. Let's wait until about 6 minutes in the third quarter. Yep. If they're still at that same point, sure. Then I'll give you the fact that they're good. About halfway point in the third quarter, we were all saying, okay.
It was touchdown, three and out, touchdown.
Yep,
and
then the pick six for Marcus.
Had,
yeah.
Yeah, we had a special, we had the Pinto and White Shadow halftime show
yep.
on the NDSU student radio station on KNDS. And you were right on the money.
Yeah.
You said, look, this is what's going to happen. I'm not concerned. I'm not even a little bit worried. And you nailed it. The Bison just came out, and just that quickly, you just knew it was over, Johnny.
Yeah. And so for Coastal Carolina, that is going to be your bet is, okay, can we keep it close? Not for the half. That's not the point. Can we keep it close for three quarters? And even then, it's still no gimme because if you're even in it in the fourth quarter, you have to score in the fourth quarter. NDSU has only allowed 6 points this entire year in the fourth quarter alone. Now, granted, the distractions, I think, will play a small part. They would play a bigger part if Bowl wasn't with the team.
Yeah.
But I think because these group of seniors, these guys are so ingrained in what he does, how the system works and all this, the first couple days are going to be a little bit emotional. They're going to get that out of their system. They go, hey, look, the only thing we can control is on the field. And we still have our head coach. We still have the guy who brought us here. He's still there.
Yeah, and here's the deal. And this is just the way I think fans think, and this is the way that a lot of media folks think, too, is the storyline, we've already written the storyline knowing not being inside the locker room and really not knowing anything. The storyline is kind of exactly what you just said. If the Bison play poorly, it's this is all Bull's fault because of the distraction. And if they play well, it's all, you know what, it's all because it's a very senior-laden team and we've already written the story depending on how it goes.
Exactly.
And I think that's unfair because, you know what, Coastal Carolina just might be good.
Here's what scares me. Their quarterback, and I got to pull up his name quickly, but their quarterback is like one of these guys that can do it all. He's a guy that can run and can pass. His name is Alex Ross. Ran for 526 yards so far this season, 6 touchdowns. Has thrown for nearly 3,000 yards and 25 scores, 7 picks. Running quarterbacks scare me.
Yep.
What he did against Montana was pretty impressive, and I'm going to have to pull up the stats here quick, but he had a game against Montana. Very good one.
If he has one here, I'm guessing that when Carlton Littlejohn is out at middle linebacker, and whether he's playing spy or doing whatever, he's probably not thinking about, okay, he's calling out the signals. Gosh, I wonder what things are going to be like when coach leaves.
Right.
Yeah, you know?
Those things go out the window once you get into the heat of things.
Yeah.
Ross had 202 yards passing, 3 scores, and 123 yards rushing, no touchdowns against Montana.
Yeah, and guess what? You know what the coordinators, what Coach Kleiman and Coach Vegan were doing this weekend? The same thing they've been doing every single other weekend.
Yes.
So, I mean, I know that's the way it's going to go, and I know that's what's going to be said, but I'm already disappointed that that's how that Coach Bowl is not really going to get any credit for winning this game if they do.
Exactly. And maybe, and again, like you said, that is going to be partly our fault, partly the fans' fault. Do you see, though, this game being close? Because I didn't see the Furman game being close. I don't know what the line is. I haven't heard anything like that for this game.
Speaking of which, the line for the Furman game opened at
31.5.
Was it 31.5?
Yes.
31 or 31.5. Okay, Vegas, that's why Vegas makes money right there.
Yep. And then before kickoff, it kind of
bet down to 29.
29.
But, yeah.
Yes.
Entertainment purposes only.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
But do I see this game being close?
Hey, yeah.
I mean, it's really tough to say, and you know, I know that's not what you're supposed to say on a podcast. You're supposed to have an opinion one way or another, but I mean, I could very well see it being close, because Coastal Carolina's got the right mix, but at the same time, Coastal Carolina's going to have to get up by 2 scores early in the game if they want to have a chance.
Brad, do you see this game being a 2-touchdown game?
So if you're taking NDSU minus 14?
Yeah. Do you feel it's going to be that way?
Every single game, every single time we've played that game, I've taken the non-NDSU side, and I think I've lost every single time.
Right.
So why ruin a good thing? If you gave me 14's not enough. You got to give me more than 14. I'd probably at minus 14. I'd probably take NDSU.
Okay.
If you gave me
17, maybe.
You'd have to push it to 21. You push it to 21, then I'll hop the fence.
Okay.
That's my number.
Here's how I think the game is going to go, and it'll be the same as every game NDSU has played this year outside of maybe a handful. First half will be NDSU feeling out Coastal Carolina because they don't know Coastal Carolina. They don't know what they do.
Yep.
Coastal Carolina may have a lead at halftime. It could be that way. And then NDSU is going to roll them in the second half.
Yeah.
It's just how it's going to be because – and I haven't gotten in depth with Coastal Carolina. I haven't looked at their roster or anything like that. But coming from the Big South, we understand they're a good conference. But, you know, so is Lehigh. And they came from the Patriot League. And NDSU shut them out. And they were supposed to have this spectacular offense. And to me, it's all about second half adjustments with this team. So take it for what it's worth, fans. Just like Furman. Just like Southern Illinois. Just like we saw with Missouri State. Just like we saw with a lot of teams. First half, you're going to have your struggles. You're going to have your offense maybe do a couple three and outs. Next thing you know, team's going to start to roll. So I say NDSU wins a couple touchdowns. I think it's going to be a couple. I don't think it's going to be Furman-like just because I think this quarterback's more dynamic.
Sure.
And they run the ball very well. Let's not forget that. I still think it's going to be a couple touchdowns.
Let's also not forget I need 2 receptions out of Zach Vrah to take another ongoing wager victory.
He's going
to
have one.
He's got 53 receptions on the year right now.
He's going to have one more, and it's going to come later in the postseason. I think if they get to the national championship, it'll come in the national championship game, and it'll be like a last-second touchdown to win it all.
That's 54. He's going to be shut out
until
then?
Okay. 50, he's going to be shut out for the next 11 and a half quarters. That is not a real bet. Please don't put that down.
Can we lock that in?
Absolutely not. So you and I both have NDSU beating Coastal Carolina in this playoffs, getting to the next round, the semifinals, to take on New Hampshire or, and let me find the FCS bracket here, New Hampshire or
South Central Louisiana State University
Southeastern,
Mud Dogs.
Southeastern.
South Central Louisiana State University Mud Dogs.
Bobby Boucher.
Yes. This needs to happen. Oh, my gosh, are we going to have fun on next week's podcast if that's the way it works out.
With Southeastern and Samuelson State have probably one of the best games in the FCS, and all you care about is Bobby Boucher.
I just want to have a lot of water boy drops.
Oh
next
boy,
week. That's all.
If
it happens,
New Hampshire beats Maine for the second time in 2 weeks. They're already in this. First time this happened, Dom Izzo tweeted this out. I have to give him credit because he said that with these teams that played in the first round getting to the quarterfinals, first time it happened in the FCS playoffs since NDSU did it in 2010. And there's a lot of teams that are that far. Coastal Carolina, New Hampshire, Jacksonville State, and that's it.
Yep.
3 teams, though. That's still pretty impressive.
3 upsets, yeah.
Yep. And Southeast Louisiana almost upset by Sam Houston State.
Yeah.
So Southeast and New Hampshire. Winner of that takes on NDSU. This is what I want to talk about. Towson versus Eastern Illinois gets the Friday showcase game, if you will,
yep,
for the FCS playoffs. Are you surprised that ESPN picked that game to put on Friday by itself?
Not overly. No, I figured one of the two Eastern teams would get a game. I kind of thought it would be Eastern Washington just because they might get some more eyeballs because people will stop, see the red field, and say, holy crap, that's a red field.
Right.
So I kind of thought that Eastern Washington would maybe get a home game in prime time. But, I mean, Eastern Illinois, they know they're going to see points. They're going to see offense. People like offense. So putting those two teams on there doesn't surprise me.
Eastern Illinois, before the FCS playoff bracket announcement, they had a whole Eastern Illinois Inside Access, ESPN did.
Yep.
And from that, I kind of picked up going, okay, they like Eastern Illinois because of this Jimmy Garoppolo, the guy who's a Walter Payton Award finalist, throws ton of touchdowns, yep, ton of yards. They like him. I think the nation's going to like him. It's yep, a fun name to say. He's got some NFL prospects with them. The other reason, too, is that this is the only second-round game or quarterfinal game with both teams seated in it.
With the two-seeded teams, sure.
And
that makes sense.
And Towson does have a Walter Payton Award finalist in their own right in Terrence West, a running back. Two high-profile guys for the FCS, two-seeded teams. That, to me, and plus they're both East Coast, essentially, teams. Not really Eastern Illinois, but Towson is. So that makes sense. I think Bison fans are a little upset. You have to remember, NDSU does get an ESPN game.
Yep. And it's on the mothership, I believe.
Yeah, no, that is, yeah, that's what I mean. Not ESPN2,
yep,
which was Friday's game. This is ESPN.
And it's going to be at a time where people are going to be jonesing for a football game because
exactly,
they've been watching football on ESPN or CBS or whatever on Saturday at 11 o'clock for a lot of weeks.
Yep.
And now when they turn it, they're going to get NDSU. So I think I don't think NDSU came out too bad in this.
No, I don't either. So that's why I wasn't surprised that it was Towson, Eastern Illinois, for that Friday night game. If NDSU were to move on to the next round, I'm pretty sure that they'll get a game, especially if New Hampshire moves on.
I think either way.
Yeah, I do too. Before we move on to regional stuff and the national, upcoming week for the NDSU men's basketball team is a big week for them.
Yes.
They'll be highlighted on ESPNU on Wednesday. They take on Notre Dame and South Bend, and then Ohio State against Columbus, or Ohio State in Columbus, I should say, on the Big Ten Network. Do we expect NDSU to win either of these games?
You don't expect them to.
How about this? What do you think will we as fans get out of these two games? Fans and media.
What do we get out of them? That's a good question. That's a really good question. What are you really going to take away from this?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be interesting to see what I'll be watching for, what the difference is between the athletes. How different are the athletes at those two schools than the ones we have at NDSU? And is there a difference? You know, I think that's going to be the biggest thing. And more so, this would be a look ahead. If the Bison were to make the tournament, what kind of chance they would have in a first-round game.
Okay.
That would probably be more my takeaway than anything.
To me, my takeaway would be, can Phillips put together a team that can have a chance to beat or upset a high major team? Because...
Exactly.
I suppose it comes back to your point, how are they going to do against tournament teams,
yep,
in a roundabout way? Here, the thing is that with Tim Miles, there were upsets against teams you didn't expect,
yep,
NDSU to win against. With Coach Phillips, there hasn't been those victories. Is it going to come against Notre Dame and Ohio State? I don't know.
I wouldn't bet on it.
No, me either. But there are things to be taken from this. I'll be watching that. Some quick house cleaning things, because there isn't really a lot to discuss about that. Oral Roberts is coming back to the Summit League, which is huge for the Summit League in general. That just makes the conference stronger, especially with Denver being in there. And then we have to give a shout out to Amy Anderson, former NDSU women's golf player, Oxbow native, went to Q School, finished in the top 20, qualified for the LPGA Tour. So she is officially a professional golfer.
That's awesome.
Which is unbelievable considering she went to school at NDSU, golfed her whole career in Fargo, essentially, makes the LPGA. Congratulations to her. That is an unbelievable feat.
Yes.
And by no stretch of the imagination, that is very, it's just a lot of fun, and congratulations to her. So we've gotten all that out of the way. We've spent a lot of time talking NDSU athletics. Had to be done. I mean,
yes.
Absolutely a lot of news coming out this weekend. So we'll move on to
regional.
And we will discuss the Vikings-Baltimore game. And, you know, Vikings lost in a last second, whatever. Have you seen a game end in a flurry like that before, Brad?
Because what was the number? Like 5 touchdowns within the last handful of minutes?
I believe so. I mean, 5 touchdowns in the last so handful of minutes, 4 in the last 2.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. You know, I tell you what, I mean, as a Vikings fan, you're happy. You want to see them lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going for draft pick at this point.
Right.
What are wins really going to get you at this point, big picture? Eh, not much. You know, not really much anything at this point. So the loss is okay. What you didn't like to see is going to be the Adrian Peterson injury, and it'll be curious to see what the results and what the findings are with that. But a loss, I don't know. That really doesn't do it for me. And here's the deal. I mean, that pass, and I told you this before we went before we started recording, that was a big boy pass by Joe Flacco on that touchdown pass. I mean, there were several Vikings right in the area, and that barely got over the fingertips, and he dropped that in. I mean, it's fun football. Fun football to see. Glad that it ended up the way that it did.
I think you're exactly right by saying you don't want to see AP get hurt. However, I will say this. With the way Matt Flynn was able to turn a game into a lot of money, is Toby Gerhart going to be able to turn some spot time and good runs into a potential starting spot somewhere?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know how much money he'll get because I don't know how much money people are willing to pay running backs at this point, but yeah, I mean, I could see that.
And I don't know who or what his contract situation is like. I don't know a lot of teams that need backup running backs next year going forward with how they run their system. But I have to assume there's going to be teams that are out there saying, you know, we'd be willing to give up maybe 4th rounder for him.
I don't know that anybody would trade for him because I think with running backs again, you're just as likely by take a running back with the 4th rounder and hit on somebody.
Yeah, you make a good point.
So I think he may have made himself a little free agent money, but I don't think there's a trade market for Toby Gerhart.
Okay, that's a fair point. Regionally, Twins haven't done anything. Timberwolves are still doing their Timberwolves thing, haven't really done anything there.
Lions are still trying to get snow out of their shoes.
Oh, yeah, how about that? And Philadelphia continues to win, which makes me a little bit angry. But be that as it may, because, I mean, obviously I'm a Cowboy fan, so I'd like to see the Eagles lose as possible. But, boy, that was a that was a very snow-infested game.
Yes.
Packers win, barely, but they beat the Falcons. And we'll get to our coach's hot seat because we have to discuss that. And Bears play tomorrow against my Cowboys. So I think, if anything, the NFC North is slowly and surely becoming the worst division in the NFL. I think Dallas and Philadelphia have picked up the NFC East.
Yeah, the NFC East, and here's the deal. I believe Indianapolis clinched.
Oh, yeah, by losing. Yes, yep.
By losing, and I think they're what? Are they
8-5?
And yeah, that's their division already. That's not good.
That's an AFC North. The North divisions are pretty bad.
Yeah,
because you've got who's in that division? Houston, Jacksonville,
Tennessee,
and Tennessee. Yeah, bad division. Okay, well, I immediately regret that last statement because hang on. Oh,
I immediately regret this decision.
Hey, maybe we can get Ron Burgundy to get on the podcast.
He's been on everything else.
Pretty much. So yeah, that NFC North. Not too good. AFC North, not good either. So we will move on to
National.
NFL conversations. We like to talk about the coaches on the hot seat. I think we should start there, Brad, and then maybe move on to a little playoff talk.
Sure.
Because it's getting to that time of the year, and we have kind of it taking shape, so we can at least discuss maybe wild cards as far as that's concerned. But hot seat, we had one of our guys go off.
He was, I believe he was our number two, both of our number two guys last week.
Yep. Gary Kubiak of the Houston Texans has been officially fired, and there goes our number two. So he's no longer on the hot seat because there's no seat for him to sit on. So he's gone. So we need to come up with number two. Let's start with number three.
Okay.
And I will put, to me, Leslie Frazier is in that mix. And I am going to go ahead. I'm going to put him at three.
Okay. And he's been just missing your list the last couple of weeks.
Yes. I'm going to put him at three.
Okay.
Who is your number three?
Actually, my number three, and he's been my number three for the last handful of weeks now, is also Leslie Frazier.
Okay.
He's not moving up. I got a new addition to the list who's skyrocketing towards the top pretty quickly.
I think I know who you're talking about.
You probably do.
I almost regret putting Frazier as three.
Yep.
Because I still feel that with these teams, there's coaches that are still getting their teams to play well, but they just haven't had the breaks. Frazier, to me, is one of those guys. Just hasn't had the breaks. How many games have the Vikings actually been in or been blown out of this season?
Yeah.
Not many. So there's that. I know who your number two is going to be.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and say Mike Smith because I still feel that the guy had these huge expectations for the season, and they continue to lose.
Yeah, I still we've been over this. Yep. I still think he keeps his job. I'm going with a different Mike. I'm going out east in Shanahan.
Yep, and I forgot about that. I had heard about that. There's a lot of things going on out there.
And he might have made this list regardless of the news that came out yesterday. I probably would have had him as my number three guy instead of my number two, had that had the big report not come out, but... Yeah, I think Shanny's done after this year.
Yeah, I can't help but feel the same way. Although, he's a four right now for me. And then next week, hopefully, he doesn't get fired because I'm going to move him on the top three list. But I'll sit with where I'm at. I'll stay with where I'm at. I got to say this. One of our old colleagues just called me. Little Adam Sprengler action.
Really?
Yeah. Who knows why? He probably wants to talk about Bull going to Wyoming. Because he had texted me earlier in the day about FBS, but that's totally inside baseball talk. Number one's Greg Schiano, Tampa Bay Bucks. And even though they're 4-9, they're not the worst team in the division. It's just there's so many things that went wrong so far with that team this year. Just to me, it's a no-doubt or no-brainer that he'll be done by the end of the season.
Joe Philbin needs to send a thank you note to Mike Shanahan.
He does.
Because he kind of took himself off of the number one on the train wreck list after that.
Well, not only that.
And the press conference from Robert Griffin the third today as well.
Oh, what happened there?
He without saying it in as many words, he pretty much blamed Shanahan for the loss.
Oh, that's a way to go from your second-year quarterback.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Not good.
Not good at all. So that good's a good transition, though, for us to go to playoff talk. Now, we'll start in the NFC. Seattle is clinched. They're going to be NFC West champions, I believe. Or at least...
They've clinched a playoff spot.
They haven't clinched the division yet, but they've clinched...
They're two full games up on San Fran.
Right, okay. And San Fran won today. So who do you think out of this list, and I'll give you a handful of teams, is going to make it? Philadelphia, Detroit, Arizona, or Dallas?
I'm going to say...
Pick two, because one's going to be a division winner.
Yep. I'm going to say...
Actually, two are going to be division winners. Two are going to be division winners. One's going to be a wild card. Well, no. Pick two.
I'm going to say, I hate picking Detroit. I really do, but I think I'm going to.
Okay.
They've got all the tiebreakers over Chicago. I think Detroit gets that division. And then Philly versus Dallas is going to be – that's going to be really, really interesting. It's a big game for Dallas tomorrow night.
Yeah, it is, because Chicago's still on the cusp.
Yeah.
At 6-6.
I hate to take Philly, but I think I'm going to.
They played so well lately.
Yeah. I think I'd take Philly and Detroit, and I don't think either of the other two teams, I don't think either Arizona or Chicago makes it.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say that Dallas will make it because I got to go home team here. And
yep.
They're 4-0 in the division, which is pretty impressive. They've beaten everybody. They've beaten New York twice. They still have Washington, Philadelphia left, and Green Bay and Chicago. And I'll take Dallas and Detroit. I think Arizona won't make it because San Francisco's not going to stumble.
Yep.
And it'll just be too hard for Arizona to get in.
Yep.
So
I agree.
We've got that. In the AFC West, or if the AFC, I should say, a lot more teams with possibilities. But I'm going to stay with just the 7-6, 6-7 teams here. Okay? Because I think KC's going to get a wild card. Indianapolis, we know, is in.
Cincy
most likely will win their division.
And
New England's going to get in, and Denver, right. So that
just literally leaves just the one spot.
The 6 seed. Unless Cincy has a meltdown and Baltimore goes on a hot streak.
But even with a meltdown, Cincy would still be in actually decent shape for a wild card. Cincy needs basically one more game.
Yes, they do. We're looking at the standings, they need one more. Yeah. So anyways.
So we got really four teams for the last playoff spot.
Here they are. Baltimore, Miami, San Diego, or the Jets. Give me what team?
Sound awful.
Well, yeah, I know. And they would have to play Cincinnati in the first round.
Yep.
At this point.
Yeah.
Who you got?
I mean, of that poo-poo platter, I think I've probably got to say Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I certainly know I don't trust any of those other three teams.
No. I'd have to agree with you. Flacco, the experience. What they did today, I mean, yeah, it's against Minnesota, but that's still a big-time win for them to be able to stave off two comeback wins for Minnesota by Garrett and Patterson. Yeah, I think you got to give that to Baltimore.
Yep.
So we'll delve into that a little bit more as we go on. But yeah, I think that's where we stand. We differ a little bit in the NFC. Agree 100% in the AFC there. So that'll be fun to see how that progresses. Best part of the season in the NFL. You remember December. Jameis Winston, is he going to win the Heisman?
Yes.
Okay. I had to ask. I know his charges weren't brought against him. Not enough evidence to charge him with sexual assault. So I agree too. I think he'll win the Heisman as well. And NBA.
Kobe's back.
How's that game going? I know they're playing right now as we record this, playing against my Raptors.
While I'm talking to you, I'm only really half paying attention to you. I'm watching the Saints-Panthers game.
Okay. How's that game going?
24-6 New Orleans.
Oof.
In the fourth.
And the Raptors are up at the half on Kobe and the Lakers.
Kobe!
Worst team in the NBA. Should we talk about the three? Who you think the worst teams are in the NBA? Can that be a three-time?
Can I just select the entire Eastern Conference and call it good?
Pretty much.
And honestly, actually, the worst team is probably in the West, and it's Utah.
Right.
There was a really fun article done by Bill Simmons on Friday about just how terrible the Eastern Conference is. It was actually a really entertaining read. It's got to be Utah. Utah, Milwaukee are both really bad right now, but give me Utah.
I would have to say Utah, Milwaukee, or Brooklyn.
I don't understand. It's still just insane how Brooklyn and New York can be a combined 11-28.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind. Those were people were ready to lock those two teams in as the 3 and 4 seeds.
It's bad. They're so bad. They're just awful teams. And so, yeah, I think that Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Utah be your worst. The Knicks are in there as well. Those might be your three worst teams, frankly. But, yeah, Utah is bad. We do have a question or a comment from Marcus in Mayville.
Marcus in Mayville.
And he talks about Wizards. We talked about it in the last podcast. I'll read this, and then we'll get your takes on it. He says, I just think the Wizards could be a team to watch for if they keep Wall Beal together. They could develop into a Curry-Thompson-like tandem out in Golden State. It's too bad for them that the draft is going to be loaded at the top, and they're starting to turn it around, much like the Timberwolves. 99 to 30, he talks about the 99 Lakers, East and West, how bad it is, so on and so forth.
And easy on the whole, Minnesota's turning it around.
No, he says, much like the T-Wolves, they still need another big star to be considered a contender. I skimmed over that because it started to get a repetitive. He does get into this. He wants us to answer this question.
Okay.
In the NCAA right now, which of these three big freshmen do you think will be taken with the number one overall pick? At this moment, not taking into account what team it is, which one would it be? He gives us Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, or Julius Randle.
I'm going to go Wiggins right now.
Okay.
If I had to say right now, I'd probably go Wiggins.
Okay. I've seen these guys on a limited basis.
Yep.
They're all for real. I like Julius Randle the most.
Okay.
I thought he was so physical in the post. I would take Randle.
Okay. And physical, and here's the thing with the physicalness of college players, I got to see skill.
Yeah.
Because physical, when you get to the NBA, unless you're like Blake Griffin freaky,
yes.
Physical only takes you so far because everybody is.
Right.
So, I gotta see the skill. I think he's got some, but the skill right now is why I would put Wiggins at the top of the list.
Okay, I would say Randle, not only the physical, which I did mention, but because the fact that I feel he's almost the most polished.
Okay,
and Parker's there too. They're all really good. I don't think you can go wrong with any one of those picks. But again, he did say it doesn't matter what team it is. It will matter what the team is picking first by the time the draft comes, because they're going to want to figure out who they have on their team and what they're going to do roster-wise. My Raptors, by the way, just traded Rudy Gay to the Kings.
I saw that, yeah.
They're going for that number one pick. I completely believe that.
Well, Rudy Gay is one of the players that the quote-unquote smart people in the NBA absolutely hate.
Right. Low-value guy or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so he just, yeah. So I think that might end up being an okay move for your Raptors.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I love it. I think unload salary, unload guys that you think are not going to help your team in the future. Let's rebuild. And if the team continues to tank, 6-12 right now, they'll have a chance at a decent pick. Maybe top three.
There you go.
So that's how I feel. So I think we covered it. I think we've we covered what we could. Again, the big news, of course, is NDSU head coach Craig Bohl leaving for the University of Wyoming at the end of the playoff run for NDSU. Crazy weekend all in the last 24 hours. I'm going to crash so hard tonight.
My alarm's set for 5:25 tomorrow morning.
Oh, I don't have to be into work till 9. So
I got to be on the road by around 6.
You have fun with that. I'll definitely be sleeping
still.
You want
me to give you a call so we can finish our conversation?
Absolutely not.
No.
No, you have fun with that. And we'll probably see here next week. Are we going to do another halftime show?
It's possible.
We might have to work that out.
We'll certainly, if it is, we'll make sure we put it all over social media. But the KNDS guys were nice enough to let us invade their halftime airtime. And it was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it went really well. I thought we had fun. We had fun with it. It was a different kind of halftime show. It was very. If you enjoy this podcast, you would have enjoyed the halftime show.
93.6. That's the only time we'll give out those colors. But make sure halftime.
You should give it out correctly.
Oh, 96.3. I worked there for 4 years. I should know what they are. 93.6. Come on. I don't even think that's an FM dial. So for Brad Jones, I'm Daniel Gutterson. Thank you so much for joining us on the 022 podcast again. Find us on KFGO.com. Find us on iTunes at the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Brad, have safe travels tomorrow. Get back to Fargo safe and sound. We'll see you through the week. And make sure, one more reminder, check out our FCS pick'ems throughout the week. We'll be probably putting those out come Thursday. I'm in the lead by one game. I lost one last week.
Yep, you're sitting at
5-3.
5-3, and I'm 4-4.
So I have a game lead. I still get the first pick, so I probably will get the NDSU game. I do get the NDSU game. So make sure and check those out. We'll put those out on social media. Find us on Twitter at the Bison Guy for Brad Jones. I'm at PintoKFGO. So for Brad Jones, I am Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson, wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day.